Our Sunday school lesson today, we're continuing with our quarterly study in the book of Ezekiel, found today in chapter 25, verses 1 through 28, chapter 26. I encourage you to open your Bibles, follow along with me. The title of the lesson, The Fate of Israel. The Fate of Israel. If I were to ask you, what's the worst danger that Christians face? Well, not many of you would list success as one of the greatest dangers. But prosperity and success can be one of the greatest dangers to a Christian. In our Sunday school student book, it asked the question, how important is success to you? And asked us to rate the importance of what type of success is important to you. Things like maybe financial success, education, marriage, politics, church leadership, relationship with the Lord. How about material possessions or that job promotion or how much money you make, how big a house you have? What is important to you? How about your family? Being successful in itself is not wrong. But there's a great danger that the desire to achieve success can lead to sin, especially prideful sin. It's like the love of money or the love for money. You don't even have to attain success for it to be a sin. Even the goal of obtaining success can make us neglect our priority of putting God first in our lives. Our memory verse this week is found in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. We've been studying how Ezekiel, this is a great man of God, used by God in these days. Ezekiel prophesied of God's judgment on Israel for her sin. God is the absolute sovereign over all nations. And over, God used enemy nations to bring judgment to his chosen people, Israel. Back over in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 47 and 48, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness. And in want of all things he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he have destroyed thee. We'll see this week how Ezekiel also prophesied to Israel's neighbor nations, that God not only judged Israel, but after he used the enemy nations to judge Israel, God turned and judged those enemy nations for their wickedness as well. In Ezekiel chapters 4 through 24, we've been studying how Ezekiel prophesied judgment against Israel. And Ezekiel chapter 25 introduces a section that predicts the fate of six of Israel's neighbor nations. Chapters 25 through 32 prophesied God's judgment on the Gentile nations. Ammon, Moab, Edom were cousin countries to Israel. The Ammonites, the Moabites, you remember they originated from that incestuous relationship and union of Lot and his daughters. The effect of the sin of Lot and his daughters was far-reaching. We could take note of many examples in the Bible how one choice can change the lives of many people for years and generations to come. Can I just interject here that our choices do matter? Let's get into our text. Turn with me, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 25. Let's look at the first 7 verses. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, now, of course, this is Ezekiel. Verse 2, son of man, set thy face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them, and say unto the Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, because thou saidest, aha, against my sanctuary, when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel, when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah, when they went into captivity. Verse 4, behold, therefore I will deliver thee to the men of the east for a possession, and they shall set their palaces in thee, make their dwellings in thee. They shall eat thy fruit, and they shall drink thy milk. And I will make Rabbah a stable for camels, and the Ammonites a couching place for flocks. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast clapped thine hands, and stamped with the feet, rejoiced in the heart with all thy despite against the land of Israel. Behold, therefore I'll stretch out mine hand upon thee and deliver thee for a spoil to the heathen. And I'll cut thee off from the people, and I'll cause thee to perish out of the countries. I will destroy thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. So we see here from the days of the judges that the Ammonites repeatedly showed their hostility toward the nation of Israel. But when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple and took the people of Judah and Israel into captivity, well, the Ammonites were dancing with joy. They were clapping their hands, stomping their feet, having them a shouting match. But they crossed the line, and God sent Ezekiel to prophesy judgment against them. Israel deserved judgment God sent them, but the Ammonites had no business rejoicing over the judgment of God's people. Even when God is judging and punishing his people for sin, he loves them and protects them. Sort of reminds me of people today. They say something, or a church may fall, or a Christian may fall, or a pastor may fall, and they seem to take pride and gladness in it. Well, that should not be anything to rejoice over. And notice in verse 6 how Israel's enemy was not only happy to see their destruction, but they were so excited about it that they just had to show it openly. Again, clapping their hands, stomping their feet, and basically dancing around and crying, aha! Can you just see them now? Well, look at that nation Israel. They kept saying they had this God protecting them and on their side, and here we are, we come out against them, and look at Israel, taken into captivity. Look at that nation Israel. Can you just hear them now? But now God has sent Ezekiel to prophesy against them. Of all the people, the Ammonites should not have been rejoicing. They should have been trembling. Because if you read back in chapter 21, King Nebuchadnezzar has stopped and considered whether to invade Jerusalem or Rabbath of the Ammonites. It had almost been the Ammonites that was in that position and to be taken captivity. But of course we know this was the hand and plan of God for the Israel. Over and over in the Bible we see that God delights in mercy and is slow to wrath. And he delights to stop judgment because of intercessions and repentance. Our intercessory prayer, when someone repents, it will affect God. And it's a very bad sin for us to be glad about the calamities of others or the fall of others, especially God's people. Even if and even when God's people may be wrong, this is a sin that God will reckon with. And notice the end of verse 7 there. I will destroy thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Can you imagine having an almighty God to declare that he will destroy you? Hebrews 10:31. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is able to save, and he's able to destroy. And then in that last part of verse 7, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. God will maintain his honor and is still the God of Israel, even though he has made them for a time to be captivities in Babylon. God will use the calamities of both Israel and the neighboring countries to bring people to know that he is the Lord. It's better to be poor and know God than to be rich and not know him. Back to our text, look at 11 and 12. And I will execute judgments upon Moab. Well, we looked at the Ammonites, and now he's turning his attention to Moab. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because that Edom had dealt against the house of Judah by taking vengeance, and hath greatly offended and revenged himself upon them. The Moabites and the Edomites had been long-time enemies of Israel. The Moabites had been enemies since the time of Balak, when the Israelites were still in the wilderness. The Edomites were descendants of Esau. They had been enemies since the time of Jacob. And because Jacob received the birthright taken from Esau, the Edomites even helped Nebuchadnezzar to attack Israel. In verse 12, Edom had dealt against the house of Judah by taking vengeance. Notice that Edom said they would get vengeance, and God was greatly offended. It's a great offense to God for us to avenge ourselves and others. Can I get an amen or an oh me? Most of us will have to say oh me on this one. Even from a child, we feel like, well, I'll get back at them. Well, look at what they did to me. You think I'm going to let them get away with that? One of the hardest things to do is to allow God to take care of it. Even when someone hurts or offends us, it's our prideful nature to get even. But we're forbidden to get revenge or forbidden to bear a grudge. Because God says it is not our right to do so. Vengeance only belongs only to God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Not saith the brother Tommy, not saith the pastor. It's not our place to get the revenge. It's the vengeance belongs only to God. Edom stepped over the line. God sent them a message that he was going to judge them for their sin. Back to our text, look in verse 13. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Edom, and will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Teman, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword. They had taken vengeance on Israel, and God is going to lay his vengeance on them by the hand of his people, Israel. Look at verse 14. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith the Lord God. By New Testament times, the Edomites had been to a large degree absorbed into the Jewish nation. Even King Herod was Idumean or an Edomite. Back to our text, verse 15. Thus saith the Lord God, because the Philistines have dealt thy revenge and have taken vengeance with a despiteful heart, to destroy it for the old hatred. The Philistines, or the Philistine, is the only country mentioned in chapter 25 that were actually not directly related to descendants of Israel. They are descendants of Ham, not Shem. They hated Israel for a long time. You remember David defeated them. He defeated the Philistines. You remember Goliath, the giant. But yet they were still around in Ezekiel's day. But they vanished from history before the New Testament times. Again, what was left of them were absorbed into the Israel nation. The Philistine sin was much the same as the Edomites. Taking vengeance with a despiteful heart. And, of course, their punishment was also much the same. In Ezekiel 25:16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'll stretch out mine hand upon the Philistines, and I will cut off the Cherethims and destroy the remnant of the sea coast. Those that are for destroying God's people will be cut off and destroyed. Verse 17. Those that were avenging themselves shall find that God will execute great vengeance upon them. The last part of that verse, or the middle part of that verse. When our neighbor's house is on fire, We should be concerned about what is about to happen to our own house. So just think about it. When the neighbors were seeing Israel, or Israel was seeing the neighbors, they should have been, how is that going to affect us? Just like you see your neighbors on fire, your neighbor's house on fire. I'm sure you get all antsy and nervous, and is that fire going to jump to my house? What can I do to stop that fire from getting to my house? Well, they should have been with that same attitude when Israel and her neighboring nations, when God came against them, they should have seen the hand of God and taken action. Now Ezekiel chapter 26, verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, again, I've mentioned it several times. I love how in Ezekiel the time frame is very specific. All through the book of Ezekiel, you can even go back into the history books and the Jewish history books and find out exactly who was king and what day and what month, and you know exactly what year and you know the time frame. And verse 2, Son of man, because that Tyrus has set against Jerusalem, aha, she has broken that which is gates of the people. She has turned unto me, I shall be replenished. Now she is laid waste. The sin of godless commercialism brought God's wrath on the city of Tyre and Sidon. Tyre was not really a longtime enemy of Israel like the other nations were, but they were more like business rivals. Tyre took special pleasure in the destruction of Jerusalem because they were business competitors. Tyre had done really well by God's provisions. They may have continued to be blessed in that way if they had not had had their greed and worldly desires that God forbids. They hoped and expected to prosper, but they could not prosper if God was against them. Isn't it amazing how people think they can prosper today, even though knowing that God is against them? Verse 3. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causes its waves to come up. Ezekiel prophesied the total destruction of Tyre. That seemed unlikely considering how prosperous they were. The Assyrians had already unsuccessfully assaulted it for 5 years in the early 700s B.C. And then in 572, after 13 years of the siege of Nebuchadnezzar, succeeded in destroying the city on the mainland using military strategy that Ezekiel had prophesied. Can I just say all of Ezekiel's prophecies came to pass? The reason being, they were God's prophecy. Only Ezekiel was only the spokesperson. These were God's plans, and God's plans always comes to pass. Back to our text in chapter 4 through 7. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and it shall become a spoil to the nations. And her daughters, which are in the field, shall be slain by the sword. And they shall know that I am the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings from the north, with horses and with chariots and with horsemen, and companies and much people. And remember, this was prophesied before it happened. And it happened just like it was prophesied. Ezekiel had even named that the king. He was the head of the gold on the image in Daniel. You remember in the study of Daniel when there that image, and then there was a gold head. Then in verse 12 tells us that the wealth of the city would become spoil to the conqueror. Look at me, if you will, with verse 12. And they shall make a spoil of thy riches, and make a prey of thy merchandise, and they shall break down the walls and destroy thy pleasant houses. And they shall lay thy stones and thy timber and thy dew dust in the midst of the water. Verse 14, trusting in riches, 13 and 14, trusting in the riches or vanity. Solomon said vanity of vanities. He tried it all and nothing satisfied. People who trust in riches hurt themselves. Riches entice and recompense thieves and no longer benefit the owner, but help the enemies do even more evil. As we see in verses 1 through 14 of Ezekiel 26. Tyre was destroyed, but arose again as a commercial city in the year 315 B.C. Remember now, in B.C. the years counts down. Then in A.C. the years count up. But Tyre was a thriving city in New Testament times. The final destruction of Tyre will happen during the tribulation period. Tyre will enjoy much of the restored Babylon's commercial glory. Chapter 26 of Ezekiel, verse 19. For thus saith the Lord God, when I shall make thee a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I shall bring up the deep against thee, great waters shall cover thee, when I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit, with the people of old time, and shall set thee in the low parts of the earth, in places desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit, that thou be not inhabited, and I shall set glory in the land of the living. Verse 21, I will make thee a terror, and thou shalt be no more. Though thou be sought for, yet shalt thou never be found again, saith the Lord God. As Ezekiel prophesied, what brought Tyre down was her prosperity and her success. Remember, Tyre was a very prosperous, successful nation. And that is what brought her down. Tyre had the opinion that she lacked for nothing. But yet the city will lose everything. Reminds me over in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Because if thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So how did success and prosperity affect the people of Tyre? Well, can I zoom in? Let me just zoom in a little bit. How does success and prosperity affect you and I? Look how low and how little Tyre was made. Even the greatest and strongest city can be brought down, because pride goeth before a fall. Well, can I just run the clock up to America today? Does it remind you of what's going on today, how successful and how prosperous America is? But yet America is so full of pride and has seemingly forgotten God. God knows how to get our attention. He knows how to bring us low. Again, it's better to be poor and be in God's will than to be rich and not know Him. Sidon, which was older than Tyre, was the headquarters of the Baal worship. Of course, we're familiar with the Baal worship and these false gods. And if you remember even back in Elijah and how the prophets of Baal, Ezekiel didn't name a specific charge against Sidon, but it assumed that they had shared Tyre's ungodly spirit and ungodly interests in commercial gain. God also judged Sidon for her sin. Let's look at verse 21 and 22 and 23. Son of man, set thy face against Sidon and prophesy against it, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Sidon, that's also Sidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgments in her, and shall be sanctified in her. Verse 23, for I will send into her pestilence, and blood into her streets, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side. And they shall know that I am the Lord. So with the destruction of Sidon, God would remove all of Israel's neighbors who were a thorn in Israel's side. Remember that God has a definite position against pride. Pride is listed first in the list of things that God hates. I often say that we're all eat up with pride. Like the Apostle Paul, we need to die to self daily. We need to pray daily to the heavenly physician to remove that cancer of pride from our hearts. You want to be first in God's kingdom? People today, they want to be first. They want to be the best. You want to know how to be first in God's kingdom? Humble yourself down and put others first. And let God promote you. You see, our problem with pride is we want to promote ourselves. We want others to promote us. But yet the Bible teaches that we should humble ourselves down and let God promote us. It's a blessing to be reminded that in the end, God's people will be blessed. God brought judgment against Israel and then turned around and brought judgment against the neighbors of Israel. Isn't it refreshing to know that as a child of God, yes, we may experience the judgment of God, the wrath of God, even in our own sins, or even maybe when He punishes the nations or punishes others. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. But I'm so glad He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Can I just say that God is there with us? He didn't say we wouldn't go through storms. He just said, I'll go through it with you. I'd much rather have God going through the storm with me than me running from the storm or trying to get around the storm on my own. When the prophecies are completely filled here in the book of Ezekiel, and remember what I said, every prophecy of Ezekiel, I can assure you, will be fulfilled or has been fulfilled. But when the prophecies are completely fulfilled, and some are prophesied even into the future, Israel will dwell safely in their land. All of their land. All of the land that God promised Abraham, Israel is going to reclaim it. And yes, that means the land that's even today being occupied by Arabs and Muslims, Israel is going to get her land back. Israel is going to enjoy peace and prosperity under the reign of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And those of us that are saved will also rule and reign with Christ. Can I just say, what a day that will be. What a day that will be. When Jesus we shall see in one day. One day. For 1,000 years. We're going to rule and reign with Him. And Israel's going to reclaim that land. And the prophecies of the end times in Ezekiel is going to come to pass. And every prophecy and promise in that Bible will be fulfilled. That concludes our lesson today. God bless you. Stay safe.